WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive Reminder. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour will not stop for the 4th of July. We will celebrate America and celebrate Chesapeake Bay. We're going to be at State Fair. I have my State Fair shirt on. It's really time for Evan and Keith to get me a new shirt. Had the shirt 3.5 years. Pits are wearing out. It's starting to crackle a little bit. So there's a word to the wise, but I will be there. The crab cakes will be delicious. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some scratch-off tickets to give away somewhere around here. Here they are. I have the Show Me $10,000 scratch-off. So we'll be giving these away at State Fair. Also brought to you by our friends at Goodwill. We had Lisa Rosiniak on this week talking about various things Goodwill's doing and also Window Nation. Buy two, you get two free all month long. This guy does roofs, and I've been drinking my Royal Farms coffee. And by the way, Chickenpalooza does not begin a minute before midnight on Saturday. Okay, so I'm going to have the new Chickenpalooza. But Bill Cole is from Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. He's been my pal a long, long time. And boy, it's been a little while, right? So we've had insurrection January 6th. We've had Goose die. The Ravens had a death in their family. 26-year-old kid, apparently OD. Orioles are good. Man, dogs and cats. What the hell's going on here, Cole? How are you, brother? Oh, we lost the World Cup, too. I know that's the first thing on your mind, right?
Yeah, well, no, I don't know. It's been pretty eventful. I think it was really weird when you heard the news about Ferguson, and then, I don't know, it was less than 24 hours later, and, you know, Goose passed. So that's,
Ferguson,
you know,
happened for me at 8 a.m. So I woke up in the morning and I saw that early in the morning. I went to Fadley's that day. So I set up at Fadley's. I was there with my buddy Howard Scher. We had a great show. Bill Henry came over to talk about money in the city. I had Simone Phillips from Charm City Table on. She eats food everywhere. She was a fantastic guest. We hung out for a while. And I left and I had a dentist appointment. And I'm in the dentist chair and I get out of the chair and I put my glasses on and I look down and people are sending me what looked to be a fake Goose death, right? I mean, it looked to be like a hoax, right? It didn't look sports box. Luke and I talked. I'm like, and Luke and I, we're professionals. We're not amateurs here. This isn't 24/7 or, you know, this is real here, right? So I'm like, we ain't breaking Goose's death. The first thing I did was call Goose, right? I text Goose. Goose rarely picks up his phone, right? But I mean, we talk. Didn't get him. And I'm thinking, And then Luke said to me, look, dude, the reporter and me starting to sniff this out. There's like neighbors in New Jersey, you know, people around Jersey with 28 followers who are saying Goose is dead. Right. So like, we should take this seriously. And we jumped on it and I'm still in shock, dude. I've talked to Brian about it. I've had Rod Woodson on this week, Marvin Lewis, Dwayne Starks. He was such a force of energy. Did you ever meet the Goose?
Oh yeah. And I mean, 55, right?
55, I'm 53. That really makes me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I just think, I mean, whatever, right? Like, it's not the first time we have these sad stories about ex football players, and you look at them and you're like, isn't necessarily probably eating the best diet or taking care of.
Oh, Goose is not a vision of health.
Right.
Or so political wisdom, by the way, either. But that doesn't mean that we didn't have some good times and that he was the most revered guy on the stage a month ago. Like, and everyone would admit that. I mean, the crowd responded to him. There's going to be a giant hole for that team and for that group of alums forever. The room will never be the same without Goose in it. That's just a fact.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. You start to think about, cause okay, at one point in his life, like, he was competing at the highest possible level for his job. So he had some physical gifts, you know, like, did he spend the last 20 years just completely not taking care of himself, not going to doc? Did he have ailments that he just ignored? You know, you just wonder.
Well, the idea is also, it might be time to get a checkup for all of us over 50 dudes, right? Like, you know, my wife's going to
be
nuts, right?
I mean, and you know, like everybody always says, and it's really easy to say, like, hey, live today like it's your last, you know, like I love
it. Goose did.
Right. Yeah, but is that part of the contributing factor that ends up?
God, I hope not, or I'm going to be gone soon too.
Yeah. Right. That's what I mean.
So you're acting Vegas, bro. You know,
right. This is a very hard game to play that we all have to wake up and work through every day.
Beer in my fridge, and, you know, there's drugs available. There's all sorts of things, but there's also, you know, the part about this kid who,
I mean,
and all I've said is, and they're all on vacation right now, Eric, John, they're all gone. They should be, right? They're going to come back and work their ass off in 4 weeks. Right? And this is their month down, but you know, this is not a good reflection upon the organization. You know, it's just not. And the owner giving interviews to his $100 million cornerback and avoiding the media. It's just, the whole thing for me, and now they have a kid drop dead, but they're a great organization and they do everything perfectly. And like, they have the same problems everybody else has, right? And I'm not to speak that I had WNST employees with all sorts of issues, not no longer, but before I eliminated those issues. But if you have employees, you have 200 employees, 300 employees, you're going to have problems. But this is a different thing when one of your own winds up in a place he shouldn't be, dead at 26 with three kids, 3 days after training camp broke or mini camp broke.
Yeah, I mean, fair or not fair, like you say, the actions of those players reflects on the organization.
It doesn't. He's not Jalen Ferguson of the Ferguson family of wherever he's from. He's Baltimore Ravens, you know, player. That's how his life ended, as a Ravens player, well paid and apparently OD'd on the streets of Baltimore. It's like, you know. When we see the Raiders kid driving 120 miles an hour, killing people, and like we see all this stuff happening, we're like, well, you know, Ravens don't draft young men like that.
I think they do. I think we recognize that they do. I mean, I think over the last 10 years, maybe 20 years, I don't know how long it's been, but like these guys did recognize that they are managing the golden goose. And one of the things that can ruin it all is the behavior of these immature, you know, young athletes who haven't been held accountable for most of their life. You know, so like,
well, this isn't the day you get accountables when you get to the NFL. If you weren't accountable in high school because you could run wild in Steubenville or, you know, Texas and do the girls and speed and the cops don't pull you, none of that happens. And then you get to Alabama or Oklahoma or Auburn, somewhere down in the SEC. Where, you know, everybody looks the other way and you do whatever you want. And then you show up here. Right. And look, I mean, 27 years of covering the Ravens, I've written two books, right? I've re-releasing Purple Rain 1. There's a piece in Purple Rain 1 that somebody brought up with me about Ralph Staten. I don't know where Ralph Staten is in his life. I hope he's alive. I hope he's well, but he was bringing guns into work and stuff. I mean, like crazy stuff in 1997. We're going to make that legal now, where everybody should have a gun, right? I'm sorry. Every schoolroom should have a gun. Every teacher should have a gun. Every doctor should have, everybody should have a gun. But nonetheless, in 1998, Ralph Staten was a knucklehead and Brian didn't want that. I mean, Bam Morris was a knucklehead. Brian didn't want that. Ted was 4-12 and had to take anybody he could get. You know, Marvin, bring anybody in here that can breathe on defense. We'll let him play. I hear all that, but they avoided Lawrence Phillips famously in Chapter 1, Verse 1 of the Purple Rain, right? Literally. So avoiding trouble is something that, after Ray Rice, I would think Uncle Steve thinks that's job one, right? Job one for Bill Cole is not to hire employees or go to jail. Like, let's start with that. Like, let's start with showing up on time, being competent, all of that. But people that are going to kill themselves in an OD in the middle of Baltimore, you'd like to ferret out that that's not a high probability. You'd like to figure that out as an employer, is all I'm saying.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, Cole Roofing is a second chance employer. I mean, we spend a lot of time, you know, taking guys, putting them to work that are coming out of programs and, you know, trying to put their lives together. And I mean,
you never know they're in a program to begin with. I guess that's the issue, right?
Yeah, well, those guys, you're sniffing out through interviews, right? Like, I mean, part of what we hold true is like a value of dependability, and like you got to be here every day. I mean,
how important is this to you?
Right. It seems pretty
simple. Let's
start
with that. How important is this? Because it's really important to me, because this is how I feed my family, right?
Right. So I mean, for a while, I thought the Ravens were starting to get the, you know, the brand of like this place where we took second chance guys, not the Ray Caruths of the world, but like, you know, guys that were on the fringes making mistakes. And
they've drafted one of those every year almost, right?
Right.
Like I went back and talked about Cornell Brown, right, on the Super Bowl team. That he was the reason he was a 6th round draft pick was he could get after, he could do all this. He kept himself very clean I think he, as far as I remember, Cornell's fine. I haven't seen him recently. But guys who had trouble when they're 19 years old and they're African American and they come from a bad environment, a bad background in a rough area where, you know, all of that's going on, trying to evaluate that at what kind of person's that going to be at 27 or 28? What kind of person's that going to be once they get money? What can we, and this is the football team, right? This is coach 101, right? Brian wanted to take on Terrell Owens, right? We'll fix them. We're coaches. We're healers. Right. We're priests. We've got people here for that. We're going to bring the best out of that young man. Darren Waller would be a great example, right? Of a guy who came and had problems and went to Oakland and then Las Vegas and did well.
Yeah. No, I mean, he is a good most recent example. I think that there's, you know, some really deep like psychology and all this kind of stuff, because there's certainly some second chancers who we avoid, that we haven't taken the leap of faith on. So what are those characteristics? You know, and I think somewhere in this, to your point earlier, is like, you know, I feel like in the past, the Ravens would have talked about that stuff. Like they would have went out in the community to people like you and other people. And this would have been an open dialogue. And that was what we fell in love with, right? Was like this.
Oh, that's over with, dude.
I know.
The days of that are over with.
Right.
You know,
but do you feel
I am like not treated well? I want to say this out loud. I am not treated well by the Baltimore Ravens as a media member. I am not. I am not. I am treated poorly. I am discouraged from spending time around. They're not encouraged.
Right. It just felt like they were part of the community and they were willing to have some of those tougher conversations that are on the fringes, you know, and that was what endeared them to people, I think. And that's community leading, right?
Like, well, you can't have reporters not asking questions when your 26-year-old linebacker is in a drug community and dies in a drug. I don't know what to say to not get sued or allegedly or whatever. He's dead. It's a shame. It's a tragedy. It's awful, but it's also not a very good reflection upon the organization. I want to make that clear. You know, it's just not.
Where are they? Like,
they're on summer vacation. Is
right.
Where
like, I mean, you,
and Steve's yucking it up with his cornerback. That's what I'm seeing in their world. And there's a state of mourning where when they come together, I mean, everybody in the team knew this kid, right? I knew the kid a little bit.
Sure.
I mean, I haven't been around a player in 2.5 years, famously. So, what are we going to say? We're going to go out there. The players who knew him and went to work with him every day. He's not the kid they lost a couple of years ago down in Miami was a cornerback. It was first year, you know, like that. This guy's been in meetings for 4 years around the building.
Right.
In playoff games, like all of that, right? So Bill Cole is here. He is Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. He order ahead. Bill, I need some work done on my roof. You know that. Just give me a little roofing update, because when I talk to you, when I talk to Dennis about selling cars, when I talk to Leonard Raskin about the market, things are always changing. But summertime, I literally looked at my roof because the damn squirrels won't stay off it, but that's another story altogether. And I'm sure they're up there biting things and costing me money.
Yeah. Not a lot of movement. I mean, I think there was a brief couple week period where we thought things might be getting better. And I think they are on the roof side. Things are starting to cut loose a little bit, but we continue to get price increases, which, you know, I don't know. I thought, we just keep raising interest rates. Somehow that magically makes products cost less. I don't, you know, we're waiting for all the different variables to like contribute to stabilizing what's going on. And it's just not there. I don't think it'll be there for a while. The solar
power. Well, gas market is one of those things, right? I mean, gas is everything. And I'll say this, I've been flying around the world most of my adult life. I started traveling really in 1986. And when I would go to Jamaica, or someplace. I'd look at gas, and the price was always out of whack because their money's out of whack, right? And then it's price per liter. It's not price per gallon, right? So you times it by four or whatever.
Whatever.
And I'd always be in places and be like, damn, they're paying $6 a gallon for gas here. Damn, they're paying $8 a gallon. When you go to Europe, it's $8, $10 a gallon for gas. They don't even have to move it. It's the parcel of land that comes from over there. They don't have to move it across the water. So I'm thinking to myself, why was it always so cheap here? I mean, it was always cheap here. It was always too cheap here. It was always like probably the way drugs are in Canada. You go there and you're like, oh, insulin's 10 cents. Who knew? You know what I mean? Gasoline was always that way here. And when my friends from other cultures would come here, they couldn't believe. I mean, Niels came here in 2016, 17, couldn't believe the gas was $2 a gallon. Just right. Like looked at him and says, we pay $7 for this in Germany, you know? And I'm like, well, I'd probably pay that for everywhere. So there was always this, that's a research piece that I'm sure I can find the answer to, but we've always, always, always paid less than 50% what everybody's in the world's paid for gas. So we've always had a cost of living or standard of living in that way, where the flexibility, the get in the car and go somewhere, they have to afford a car, you have to have insurance. There's all of these American things built into it, but very, very different than all other cultures where in Europe, most people care about gas costs because they get on a train and go to work.
Right. They don't have cars.
You know what I mean? Like literally.
But having your own car is very American. I don't know. That's interesting. Question that you pose there, like,
well, the cost of driving is probably the same because of the car and the insurance and the licensing and just tolls, all the stuff you have to pay to get from here to there.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think there is a decision that was made because of the vastness of our country and the economic engine of mobility that, yeah, there definitely were strategies that were adopted to make it easy for us to do that. Probably more about trucking grain out of the middle of the country to the, you know, coasts to then ship.
Well, we had railroads built for years that did that. They kept that sort of transportation off of the main roads, right? So when you see these Walmart trucks everywhere, yeah, like whatever, all of that was being done. But 100 years ago, we didn't have any of this, right? 100 years ago, we had subways, but no highways. Think about that. Just think about that. There were subways in New York, but no highways, right? And the word highway, when you think about songs, right? Judas Priest, heading out to the highway, nothing to lose at all. Highway. We don't think of the highway as being freedom anymore. We think of it as a traffic jam. At least a 50-year-old guy does, right? The freedom would be outer space, out on the water, get me a boat, I'll just drive, you know? Like, we all want that open space, but highway meant that back in the day. And I think, yeah, I mean, this country was very obsessed with building roads, right? I mean, that and building cars, and then building cars to go on roads, but they became obsessed about everything except, oh, yeah, we have gas czars that want to keep pumping petroleum into these vehicles. Why can't we had steamboats 200 years ago. Yeah, how in the world? We've had electricity around here for a couple hundred years. What, like, seriously, this has been an American problem to not get off the gas titty, period.
This is like such a complicated discussion, and there's so many variables.
You started
like,
it.
I'm just saying, like, we have to have like an extended version podcast that's like 3.5
What do you want to do? You want to do Dead Ravens for 100? You want to do January 6th for
what,
crab cakes?
If you really want to unpack the macroeconomics of our addiction to gasoline, we have to go get a couple experts. One that's on this side of the aisle, ones that's on this side of the aisle.
I am promising you it was about someone really rich buying off politicians along the way so that they could continue to make gas. You know how I know this? Because I see what's going on in West Virginia with coal, right?
I don't disagree with that.
You're in a solar roofing business, so you can speak to it better than anybody over the last 20 years that I should have a shingle on my roof or I should have something collecting the sun's energy and using it to power everything we do. It's pretty simple, dude. This is
I don't disagree.
We're the smart guys.
But there have been many people, right, who were involved along the way who weren't just trying to make more money for the oil companies who were involved. And it's such a complicated problem to unpack that we don't even notice any of the work that those people did. And I have to believe that those people have been involved, right? So,
well, there is an electric plug-in for about five cars most places, right? So we've at least gotten to that point, right? With the hybrid. The hybrid's been around 20 years. I was promoting hybrids for Toyota turn of the century. Right. You know, right. Like, so we're 20 years into this and gas is $6 a gallon and it's still the president's fault. If you don't like the president, it's the president's fault.
Well, but there's so many things with, like, we have infrastructure problems with EVs. Like, there's not chargers everywhere. The way we live our life is that you get up in the morning and you stop at the gas station. If you need gas, you fill up and drive to work. And that isn't how EVs work. It's a different game. So there's a lot.
You can get chicken this month if you stop the Royal Farms. I'm just saying, you know what I mean?
And you can charge your car at most of them. So like they're, you know, people are doing good stuff. Don't misunderstand me, but these are complicated things that take time to unpack. Then, oh, by the way, here's a pandemic and that's going to cause supply chain. And like you got a lot, there's a lot of headwinds.
There's a little culture war going on too, over guns and women's uteruses and just things like that, you know?
Sure. Which is really bizarre. Really bizarre that
judges on the court who lied, who just literally lied.
You think that the political machine, I mean, I'm of the opinion that today almost everything is managed by the political machines on one side or the other.
Agreed. And the money that supports it.
So it's
Marco Rubio doesn't really like guns. Deep down, he's a pussy. But you know what I mean? But he look at him. I mean, but all the gun money makes him love guns. All the gas money makes you love gas if you're in Texas, right? That's
so
it.
Am I to believe that the political machine of the Democrats actually caused this Supreme Court stuff to happen so that they could improve their chances of winning the elections in November, because the backlash of like, look at what they're doing to us. And now, you know, that
every woman should be motivated to vote for a Democrat at this point. I mean, that's a fact. And I'll say that to Barry Glassman. I'll say that to whatever, every Republican, respectable Republican I know. And I just mentioned to David Marks and Barry, deep down, they're appalled. They're appalled at these things that have gone on, insurrections. But to the people who are going to vote for them, the people making a decision next week over this maniac Cox and Larry Hogan's chosen woman, that Kelly Schultz, who apparently, you know, is getting around town doing, they're all welcome here. They're all welcome to come in here. But the first question is the same question you give Mike Flynn. Do you support the peaceful transfer of power in the United States of America? Do you think elections are rigged in this state or any other state? Why? And where's your evidence? And that just shuts it all down, but it doesn't shut it down on the internet where it's, you don't like gas prices. You know, it's not an intellectual conversation. It's a very, very intellectual conversation when a 26-year-old intern comes in and says, the president of the United States is out of his mind. I was there for all of it. These people are liars, and is willing to get up with her life on the line under subpoena in front of the world and speak truth. And until we have a culture where truth is spoken in that way, we're really going to be a wayward boat at this point, because we're not the United States. We're the divided states. We really are.
Because we started this entire little portion of the discussion with the idea that everything that's going on right now is being managed by a political machine, one side or the other, right? And those two machines are at odds all the time, just playing with all of us peons. And for as long as we understand that to be true, we have serious problems.
But like, the 70% in the middle are being dealt by the 15 on the far end of both sides.
I agree. One of the issues right now is take my personal political opinions or social opinions, I guess is the better word, and set them aside for the
second. Which are wildly independent in your case, by the way.
Right. Just look at the concept of governance, right? So let's say that the Supreme Court decides that this is not constitutional based on our decision. That's totally okay for them to say that, so long as the legislature body of the government then steps in and passes laws to make it what you want, what the country wants it to be. And in our world, if that doesn't happen in an Amazon 24-hour delivery period, we're pissed. Because we want it now. So there is an element of how this balancing act of the government, and just keep in mind, we're only 200 and some odd years old, right? So we're still trying to figure this out, and it's never worked in the history of mankind, and we're completely unique, and we don't have any history to like lean on, or like we should just make a king and then we can do whatever he wants or whatever.
We did that for 4 years. We tried that.
I just think that we don't even have the civility to let governance like do
breathe.
Its job.
Right, breathe.
Yeah, to
yeah.
do its yeah. job. Like, yeah. hey, it's okay if half the country doesn't like this law. Like, we go to the ballot box. You hope that isn't impacted by whatever. You make your votes, and then these people get elected. Then they pass laws that you can choose to abide by or not. And if you don't, there's
well,
a
well, then
set
scientists
of
tell you to wear a mask, and you don't. You say it's not a law; it's a rule, and it's a stupid rule. And I don't believe in it. My religion won't allow it. My won't allow it, and I can't breathe. And you know, and then on and on and on. And we had a plague; a million people died, and nobody said anything. Literally, like. We've just moved on from that.
Again, my friend, you take these very complicated topics and you simplify them. So that's another one that 10 years from now, they'll
well,
be
I lived through that. I walked through that in stores.
I know. We lived through
people coughing on me like idiots. Right. Yeah.
We lived through our experiences. I just, when you go and they write the history books after you and I are both in the dirt, it'll be very interesting how it's all.
Well, it depends on who writes the history book. You know that.
Of course.
Bill Cole is here. Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. He does roofs. He does things. You can find him at coleroofing.com. Shorter visit this week. Bill, we'll get together again next week. We'll get a crab cake soon after the 4th. Hope you have a beautiful red, white, and blue. Celebrating these United States of America. How about that?
Appreciate it.
I'll be at the Heritage Fair in the beer garden, like doing what good Americans do. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive, independently, Democratic, or Republican.